We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Sooner Sports Podcast, your all-access pass to Sooner Sports. The Sooner Sports Podcast is presented by Allstate. Are you in good hands? And by Riverwind Resort. Riverwind Resort, the place to be.
Oh, mama, what a play!
We welcome you into the Sooner Sports Podcast, Sooner Hoops Edition. I'm Jessica Cootie, joined by senior forward for Oklahoma basketball, Brady Manick. Brady, you guys are fresh off a win in your final non-conference game of the season. How did you feel like the team handled all of the, I guess, changes and whatnot, and then just a weird kind of non-conference schedule before you go all in with two huge matchups coming up with Texas Tech and West Virginia?
Yeah, it was just a weird year. I mean, we've got games getting canceled, games getting postponed, I mean, rescheduling stuff. It's just all around. Just shows how the year has been. I mean, going back to last season, off season, it's just been a long, long, long time. And I think we've done well. I mean, guys just wanting to play. It's a lot of just wanting to play basketball. I mean, it's practicing hard, lifting. I mean, doing all the small things outside of games to try to get ready for those games. And I think we've handled it well. We've had a couple rough patches, but we've played really well.
You know, it's a hard time for everybody, right? Everybody's kind of having their own struggles with this situation. But for people that might be listening and want to hear a perspective, what is it like, especially for a senior, you know, going through this in the way that it has been? It's got to be challenging, tough at times. And Coach Kruger talked about how he talked to you guys about trying to maintain a positive attitude. But I know that's challenging sometimes, right? I mean, this is not how you signed up to play your college basketball career, right?
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, one of the most challenging parts is there's not very many fans. There's not many people at the games because of the restrictions we have, and go to away games and there's 100 people there, 200 people there. It's just weird. That's probably one of the most odd things that we've done is just the limited amount of fans at the games. And then, I think the other challenge is like we're getting tested 3 days a week, 4 days a week, sometimes whatever fits around the schedule before games or at, like whenever they can. And that's another challenging part is we getting tested, having to wake up for that and then go into practice and worry about the results and get the results later that day. It's just a long process. And it's a lot of extra stuff that we've never done before. Been here for 3 years and we've never done any of this stuff. It's new to everybody. And it's just a lot of just new things.
You seem different to me this year on the basketball court. Do you feel different?
I do. I do. I feel like I've gone more away from just shooting three pointers. When I started freshman year, I was known for shooting the three and getting a couple dunks here and there and not really anything in between. And I think a lot of my stuff has come from defense or post-ups or just things that the three has helped me get open. They're guarding the three so hard that maybe I'll be open to the post because I'll have a guard on me now. Or on defense, I can really focus in on trying to guard somebody, just getting bigger, getting stronger, and just a lot of things that are changing. And I'm just trying to develop those things that everyone else wants to see.
You think back to when you were a freshman and you would miss a couple shots and just be so hard on yourself. And, you know, you think about what you did at Houston Baptist, didn't necessarily go down like it normally does for you, but then you're finding other ways. Has that evolved for you? And how have you been able to evolve the mental part of it where you don't get so hard and so down on yourself when the three ball doesn't go down necessarily like it usually does for you?
Yeah. Freshman sophomore year. I mean, it was tough. I mean, I was a strictly 3-point shooter and I did get hard on myself a lot. It was a lot of, you gotta make the shot or you're probably not going to score that game. Or if you don't make this shot, you're probably not going to get open again. So it's kind of one of those things. But now I can kind of see how the game's evolved, and I've been able to find other ways to score or get an assist, get a rebound. And there's other things I can do that is around the three. Like I said, the three's opened that opportunity for a post-up or rolling into the paint or pump faking one dribble pull up. It's the effectiveness of my 3-point shot leads to other things that help us. And I think you can just look at a possession and be like, well, I wasn't open or I missed that one or I wasn't open on that one, but next possession I can go post that guy up or I can do something different. It's kind of like a different mindset. There's other things I can do.
How did you kind of develop, again, we saw great moves, you know, down low, back to the basket. Coach Kruger has talked about how much that's developed. Who did you sign up to help you develop that? Like, who are you going up against that helps you get really good at that over the last couple of years?
I would say having guys that are not necessarily taller and bigger than me, but guys that are stronger, they get lower. So guys kind of like guys we had like we have Jalen Hill now, we got Victor. I mean, they're not as tall as me, but they're more athletic, they're faster, they get lower. I mean, that kind of stuff. And they can push me and I got to figure out other ways to do stuff. I mean, when you get into a game, I'm not going to have the 7-footer on me or I'm not going to have the point guard on me. I'm going to have that athletic guy that is there to push me and get me off the block or get me out of position. So having guys that are really athletic, really strong, and just have them just pushing me different ways, guard me different ways. I mean, in practice, we were always, the guy guarding me is always switching or they're always doing something to throw off what would normally happen if I was a true 4 or a true 5 kind of position.
What's it been like this year not having your longtime teammate and buddy Christian Doolittle?
It's weird. He brought a lot to the team. He saw he just won a championship. It was really cool. He was out in Puerto Rico, I believe. It's really cool. I mean, he played well together. We read each other well. Defense, we were kind of communicated well. Offense knew what to expect from each other, kind of found each other in a couple plays here and there just because he knew it was open or I had a feeling he was going to be open. It's one of those things. But it was a good 3 years, and I'm just glad to see him moving on and keep playing.
It was longer than that. It was what? You guys played together for 6 years growing up? It's been over 10 years you guys played together.
Yeah, I think he was in like the first, second, third grade or something. And he just was that big Doolittle, the big teddy bear. And we went to college together, and it's been fun.
That being said, though, you know, I know you guys played a ton of ball, but together, but it seems like you kind of have developed that with Austin Reeves a little bit. Do you feel that, like, that you guys can kind of read each other and communicate in a way that maybe a lot of people don't necessarily have with teammates?
Yeah. I mean, you get guys that are smart enough to make plays. They can read each other and just play off each other well. And I think I've kind of been doing that with Austin. I mean, we both know how to, what to expect from each other. Like, if we're running this play, we both know where each other's going to be, what we're supposed to be doing. It's kind of cool. You can get players that know different positions, and they know how the play is supposed to be ran. They know how it's just really, he's got a really high basketball IQ, and it shows. I mean, he's getting tons of assists now and still scoring, getting to the free throw line. He's doing everything for us right now, and it's really cool. And I think that relationship, I mean, you can see it with him and Kerr. I mean, he knows what Kerr's going to be doing. He knows Kerr's going to be rolling. He's going to maybe a short roll and kind of pull up jumper. I mean, we know what Kerr's going to do, and he finds him in those positions.
It's been a dunk contest, I feel like, over the last few games for you guys. You've been throwing lots of alley-oops. So rank, and I heard you in your post-game press conference the other day, and people were talking about how you put yourself in the top tier of dunkers on this team. Rank the top five.
The top five? It would definitely be Alondis, Kerr, me, probably Jalen and Vic.
Vic is number five?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, it was in no order. I would say,
okay, give them to me in order.
It was in order. Oh, that's a tough one. So I would say tied for first would be me, Alondis, and Kerr. And then you could throw Vic in because he just got them power dunks. And he just throws it down really hard. And then Jalen's showing more and more in warm-ups and in the games than he leads on sometimes. But he's got some more in him.
I'm going to have to do some research on this. I'm going to have to confirm with some of the other guys on the team and see if they buy your ranking. So, but honestly, is this something that
– I don't know. Really...
What?
They can go look at my Twitter. I have a video of me between the legs. I mean, it's there. It's proven. So it, not many guys on the team can do that. So there's probably three of us.
That's awesome. Is this something that you guys talk about? Like, I mean, because it seems like you feed off of each other. No, it's not.
No, we never talk about who's the best dunker. It's just in the game, and someone throws one down, and it's exciting. I think this is probably some of the most dunks we've had in like the first six games of the year. I don't think we've ever had this many dunks. I mean, we have four, five, six a game. It's pretty impressive.
I guess that's what I meant more. So it seems like it's like one person does it, and then it's like, oh, I can do that. Let me show you what I can do. It seems like it's like a feed off of each other type of deal.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of them in transition, a lot of lobs. Then like the other night, Vic had four dunks in 2 minutes of gameplay. It was wild.
I think it really speaks to the athleticism of this team, right? I mean, this is one of the more athletic teams that we've seen in Norman in a while.
Yeah, I think we are really athletic, and I think we have a lot of offensive weapons. I mean, we got guys that can drive, we got guys that can shoot, obviously guys that can get up and jump. We got a lot of athletes and a lot of skills, a lot of talent. And I mean, we got guys like Austin with the ball, Davion, Mo, Elijah. I mean, we got guys that are sharing the ball well, and they play really well, really well together.
It's also a really deep team, and that's a Kevin and Brendan Manzer have been on the calls that they have talked about how this is the deepest team that Coach Kruger has had. How do you guys balance that? Because I know probably you want to stay on the floor, everybody wants minutes. I mean, but is that something that's a challenge? How do you guys kind of manage that?
Yeah, it's tough. I think it gets us to compete every day. I mean, guys come in and they want the playing time, so they're gonna work for it, and it kind of makes everyone work for it. I mean, come in, you don't work hard, you'll lose minutes. So, I mean, everyone kind of knows that, and I think it kind of puts pressure on everyone and bring your A game every day. And I think we just have really intense practices sometimes, and it shows.
We've also seen a ton of different lineups, like a lot of different people playing together. How fun is that you can give and throw so many different looks at people?
Yeah, we got a lot of guys, a lot of guys that can play more than just their position. I mean, we got Jalen, he's playing the four right now, but I mean, he can play the three, he can play the guard spot. We got Vic, who can come in and play the 4-5. I can play the 4-5. We got Austin, Davion, Elijah. They're 1-2-3. They're kind of in there at the good point guard and wing spots. I mean, we got guys all over. So I mean, you can put a lot of lineups, throw a lot of different things, and I think it'll help later when we need to put the defense on their toes, and then they're gonna be like, oh well, I'm gonna guard this guy and I'll guard this guy. But you get into a game and they got guys that have never been lined up together at the same time, or guys that they're not ready for. It'll really throw people off sometimes. It'll be cool.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about you. You just graduated. You played your first game as a college graduate. I know you're going to pursue getting your master's, but not easy either, from the Price College of Business. That is no joke. But it's been important to you. You've been on the All Big 12 academic team both years that you could be. Why has that been important for you to balance and not just, you know, get a degree, but get very good grades doing that?
Yeah, I decided when I got to college, I wasn't going to do just a degree just to get through it. If I was going to come and go to school and get it paid for, I was going to do something worth my time. And I got a management degree with a HR minor. And I mean, it just kind of, those classes were ridiculously hard. I mean, I was in Calc 1, Calc 2, both accountings, finance. Looking back at it, during those times, I decided I wouldn't want to continue, but I was already so deep, I was like, might as well finish it. So I had the opportunity to finish early, and I took 9 hours this last summer instead of the normal 6. And I took some extra classes like during Christmas over the years, and just kind of chipping away so I could graduate a semester early and then start grad school. And I'm hoping to finish grad school. I'm hoping I can have the chance to finish that and get that out of the way. And not sure what I want to do it in yet, but it'll be probably something like finance.
So why though? I mean, is that just part of, I know your parents are, you know, it's important to them as well, but the grades part of it, the making sure that it's not just passing. I mean, you're getting very good grades in earning that degree.
Yeah. In high school, it was, you get A's, you maybe have the 1B throughout your whole time, but high school growing up, it was strictly A's. My brother, he got 1B in his whole life so far. So that kind of put the pressure on, but I told my parents I wasn't going to do that. I wasn't going to kill myself to just try to get all A's. I mean, it wasn't possible. I wasn't going to try that hard. I was going to get A's and B's and the occasional C just because I was busy, and I think they kind of understood it. And right now I'm pretty sure I have a better GPA than my mom and a little less than my dad. So I'm kind of in the middle. So I was fine with it. And yeah, it was tough. I mean, you got games all the time. You're having to talk to professors all the time when you're going to miss, or can I retake this quiz? Can I take it early? Can I take this test early? It's just a lot of stuff that goes into it that you just get tired of dealing with. But glad I got it out of the way already and try to finish this last part of it.
Yeah, it's got to be a huge relief. So are you confirming, is your brother smarter than you?
No, he's not. He is a nerd that tries really hard, but I am street smart and everything else smart.
He's just a book smart guy. Is there anything you will give
no.
him?
No.
Nothing.
He is, in fact, shorter than me.
Okay.
That is all I will give him. He is, in fact, shorter than me. Yeah, that's about it. He ain't getting much from me. It's everything's a competition nowadays. It always has been.
Yeah, I know. That's funny.
But school, okay, so- I mean, and he did go to ORU for 2 years. That's pretty tough. I mean, ORU's a tough place to go, school part. But, you know, he finished at Southeastern, and he had really good grades. So maybe his GPA is a little bit better, but it doesn't mean he's smarter.
That's hilarious. Okay, give me your best class, your favorite class that you took, and the worst.
Worst class. That would come down to the calculus courses or the accounting courses. They were equally miserable. Lots of yelling and screaming and throwing stuff because it either didn't make sense or I didn't understand why I was doing it. My favorite course, when I first got here, I did a history of jazz online and I didn't have to do hardly anything. It was a lot of write two sentences here and turn it in and get 100. And I was like, this is amazing. So that was probably my favorite. And what was the other one?
I just said your hardest, the worst, and then the best, your favorite. So yeah.
My favorite was probably History of Jazz, probably one of the easiest too. And then I liked business communication. It was like our communication, BizCom. You got like a small group of people and you got to make like projects and stuff. And I got a couple good friends from that group. So that was probably one of my other favorite ones. Just show up to class, not really doing anything, sitting there talking, and then last minute we'd all do the project and call it good. And a lot of just sitting talking around.
Okay, let's get to what everybody really wants to know about. Let's talk about your book this year. You're all over social media again. Everybody's loving the look. You had it 1 year and then you buzzed your hair all off and then you brought it back this year. Take me through the thought process, what you wanted to accomplish with bringing back the look.
So I've had a lot of hairdos just in college. My whole life, it was just a buzz cut. And then I got to college, freshman year, buzz cut. I was like, yeah, I'll just grow out my hair. I didn't really think anything of it. Like, I've never grown it out before. Might as well. Then all the stuff started for no reason. I don't know why it all started. So I played the game, gave the people what they wanted. Then I buzzed it off. And then last year, COVID happened and, you know, you couldn't really go anywhere and get a haircut. My mom cut my hair usually anyways, but you couldn't really go anywhere and get a haircut if you wanted one. So I was like, nah, we'll just keep letting it grow. And I thought we'd be back at school and like June or late May, maybe July. It kind of just kept going back and going back, and I just kept letting it grow. And I was thinking about cutting it like before I got back, or they just kept pushing the date back of when we could come back. So just kind of kept going. And then late July is when we got to come back, and it was really long then. And I was like, well, I'm just going to keep it now. And I kept it. And I don't think we had press or anyone at the, cause you couldn't have anybody at the gym. We didn't have press conferences up until like right before season. So no one had really seen it other than through like basketball tweeting photos of it and stuff. So I mean, it just gets blown out of proportion. It's kind of funny to watch it explode.
You get it trimmed though, right?
I have had one trim. So I got a haircut 2 days before we went to the Big 12 tournament. And while we were at the Big 12 tournament was when the Thunder game happened and everything kind of got shut down that next day. But I got a trim. I got a buzz cut then, and then I got a trim 2 days before picture day in like October. And that was the only last two haircuts I've had. So just kind of letting it go.
Hey, that's help the budget, right? The college exactly student right. budget.
Exactly. And I haven't been able to make it home as much with COVID and stuff. So I can't really have my mom cut it, but now that it's this long, I don't think I want her cutting it. I want someone who knows what they're doing. So yeah, it definitely brought that payment down.
So do you, what do you think? Like, do you like all the attention that it gets? I mean, everybody's talking about it. I mean, it is,
I think it's really funny. I wouldn't say that I like love it. I mean, it's really funny to what someone's gonna, like Barstool made something about it a few weeks ago. Like, it's just crazy what people will come up with, the things they'll say. I get tweeted at all the time for something, prairie bird this, Brady bird, just all this different stuff. And I just makes me laugh every time. We got all these different names coming, all these different articles. I mean, people always talk about it. It brings that attention. Sometimes it shouldn't bring the attention, but it does anyways. It's funny to me. Especially,
do you think you look like Larry Bird?
Not really. I would say the only reason is because I have the most fluffy mustache this side of the Mississippi, and then the flawless hair. But that kind of makes it why, because not many people have a mustache nowadays. The good looking hair. I mean, it's kind of a combo. If I didn't have the mustache, or if I don't have the hair, you probably wouldn't talk about it. So I mean, it's you got to have both, or you can't have anything. So it's really it's interesting. I mean, it is something that you can just sit back and watch, and it just takes off, and I don't even have to do anything nowadays. It just goes.
No, I think though, beyond just the look though, I mean, there are things that, you know, you listen to the game broadcast, and a lot of the announcers will say, like, you know, some moves that you make are Larry Bird-ish. Like, so it's got to be cool for you. I mean, one of the legends of the game that people are kind of comparing you to, beyond just your looks, but, you know, some of the things you do on the court.
Yeah. I mean, he shoot it. He was to me, he's top five basketball players all time. I am definitely not averaging 30 points like he did in college, but I mean, it's kind of cool to look at. I mean, he wasn't the most athletic or the quickest, but he was one of the smarter players. He had a really good shot. He played well. I mean, it's just I can see how they can make that comparison, but it's kind of far-fetched of how much better and how much of a legend he is than I am at college.
So you made the decision to rock the headband last game. Tell me about that.
So my brother really wanted it the entire time. He was pushing for a headband forever. And Eddie Radosovic tweeted at me and asked me in an interview if I was going to wear a headband. And I told him maybe just for him. So kind of brought it back up with Kellen, and he kept pushing for it. So I told him against Houston Baptist, I'll wear a headband and I'll give the people what they want finally. And I decided to rock it. And I think it was just funny. Don't know if I'd want to rock it again yet. Had some complications with it sliding up in the back with the hair. But other than that, I mean, it was funny. I thought it was good. It was something else.
He got fouled pretty hard one time and knocked it off. Somebody knocked it off.
Yeah, it just got knocked up. I had to pull it back down. It didn't come all the way off. But yeah, it was interesting. I'd never worn a headband in my life. Didn't have any hair for my first 20 years. So I didn't ever have to worry about it. But yeah, it was funny.
What'd your teammates say when you walked out with a headband?
So I didn't tell anybody. I only was with Marco, the equipment manager. Him and some of the managers, only people I told. I had it in my waistband during warmups and stuff, like debating on when I'd put it on. And then we came out the last 4 or 5 minutes right before the game, and I put it on then. And they were some of them kind of laughing about it. Some of them didn't like it. Some of them said I looked ugly. I mean, I really didn't care. I thought it'd be funny and kind of bring a different mood to the game. I mean, go into some of those games and maybe it may not be interesting or start off slow, but I thought it'd be a good time to change it up a little bit.
Kevin Henry thought when you, I don't know how many, you didn't shoot that much, but you didn't have a three at half, and he thought you very well could come out without rocking the headband in the second half. He said you are known.
No, I told myself no matter how bad I shot, I was rocking the headband the entire game. I told myself I wouldn't take it off. I was gonna stick with it the entire game, and then I got a transition three late early second half. Then I had a couple buckets there before we really extended the lead.
I rocked a headband when I played. I like the look. You should bring it back sometime.
Yeah, thank you. Most people do. I mean, it's just a headband. It wasn't that big of a deal, but apparently it is to a lot of people. So let them have it.
Kevin Henry said it looked like it was a 1974 Indiana media guide. So he had some fun with that.
That's funny. He's something else.
All right. I just have a couple more for you. Just Big 12 play is about to, you know, get underway. And once again, toughest conference, arguably, in the entire country. How do you guys approach it, especially the weirdness of all the season? I mean, you guys were picked, what, sixth? Feel like you could be a lot higher than that. You know, just a grind. How do you guys kind of approach it and knowing that it, night in and night out, it is a battle?
Yeah, it is going to be tough. I mean, we got teams that 4 or 5 of the Big 12 teams have already been in the top 25 or still are. I mean, it's going to be a grind every night, and we'll have to come ready to play. I think a lot of the teams are beatable, though. I think we can really just focus in and play our game, and I think we can come away with some of these wins. The hardest thing we've done is play on the road. Every year I've been here, the road games are the ones that you need. It's easier to win at home. I mean, even if you are playing a really, really good team, it's harder to win at their place. And I think we can snag some of the road games and try to win all of the home games. We'll have a really good shot of getting back to where we were last year as third, or maybe not this year, tying as third, maybe doing a legit first, second, third place kind of thing. And I mean, really going into the tournament with the good momentum. But yeah, it'll be tough. We got some good players, a lot of athletes, a lot of scorers, a lot of guys we'll have to focus on. Like tomorrow we'll have Mac McClung coming in, and then you go to Kansas, you've got Garrett and some of their guards, you've got West Virginia bigs, we've got Texas is rolling right now, we've got teams all over that we're gonna have to play two times this year, and it's gonna be tough.
Some of those places that are just rocking, have you thought about how weird it's going to be? Because the women's team just played at Kansas, and you know, obviously it's not to the level of loudness, I guess, and that it normally is with the men's game, but it still gets pretty wild for even women's games too. Have you thought about like just how weird it's going to be to go to some of these places that won't be as, I guess, difficult of an environment?
Yeah, I can't wait. I think it really, really kind of makes it more of an even game. When you get in some of those games, especially like Kansas, West Virginia, my first few years, they were really rolling in there. And it makes it intimidating. I mean, fans can really change the momentum of a game. They can change how the other team reacts. When you're on a guy the entire time, it does play a role in how the guy plays. And I mean, Kansas, they don't really yell at you, but it's so loud you can't even like think. It's just so many people in such a small area, and it's really cool. And I think this year, going into there, it'll be different. I mean, they don't have as many fans. They'll have fans, but it's not going to be as many. It's kind of one of those things that we're doing at home right now. We're battling teams coming in and nobody's harassing them. Nobody's on them. I mean, there's just nobody there. It's tough. It's tough for even home teams to play. So it's more of an even matchup.
Which crowd is the worst in the Big 12?
The worst?
Yeah, like the hardest on you.
So over the years, you've got like the two Kansas schools, but they don't really come at you. It's more of a, they're just so loud, it's hard to play at. And then you got like West Virginia or Texas Tech, and they are there to like insult you. Like they are there to hit you with an F-bomb, or the person tells you you're ugly, or they're just on you. They're saying your name. It's something else. I never really thought people would say that kind of stuff to me, but I was like, oh, this is different. It's new. It never really happened in high school, because you know, you'd have your principal standing over there telling them shut up. Nowadays you're in an arena and they're getting rowdy, and everywhere in the Big 12 is really tough to play. I mean, you got people on you all the time, and it may change this year. There won't be as close and there won't be as many.
Football, by far the meanest crowds are West Virginia and Texas Tech. So
yeah.
I can imagine Texas Tech,
freshman year, they did, was when Trey was there. They did their little chant to him, and then they started throwing things on the court, and it was a rough and rowdy kind of environment. And then West Virginia, over the last few years, I mean, they've had people yelling and screaming and yelling at you, and then they got those people that are just really funny. I mean, it's those two are definitely at the top. I think a lot of places, though, they just get super loud. They might be yelling at you, but you don't even know it because it is just so loud. Like at the start of a Kansas game, it's just so, so loud. Someone could be saying something to you, but you have no idea. So it's one of those things where you get down to like Texas or Texas Tech, and you can hear the person cussing you out behind you. Like it's one of those things.
Well, the good news this year, you won't have to deal with it, but Brady, we appreciate your time. It's been fun to watch you kind of get this thing started off this season, and look forward to seeing much bigger things to come from this.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
This has been the Sooner Sports Podcast. The Sooner Sports Podcast is presented by Riverwind, home to a luxury hotel, fine dining, and never-ending rewards. Riverwind is still the one. And Allstate, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review however you listen. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Sooner Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.